When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So it's all for play for still?
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hi, villains, and welcome to For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast. And Paddy and I are coming to you today on what can only be described as a bloody historic night for Aston Villa Football Club. And to be honest with you, probably a historic night for any football club, considering what's happened tonight. In the wake of COVID-19 outbreak in Ballymore Heath and within the first team squad, obviously Aston Villa had to field a... less than experienced, I would call them, side. A side that at a 7:45 tonight had literally no experience of senior football. And I think it's fair to say that coming out at 9:30, 9:45 tonight, this side has grown in the hearts and minds of the footballing fraternity, the country over, the UK or Europe over, or the world over even. I know it's probably make headlines somewhere else. And Paddy, I'm going to come to you on that. And you know what, I suppose before we get into any specific players' performances, what's your overarching feeling? What was your overarching feeling before the game? And then how did it mellow during the game? And how was your feeling after the game? Because I know that we spoke an awful lot about this over the course of the day today.
Yeah, well, I don't want to start at a negative, obviously. So let's just say I'm immensely proud of how the team did tonight. I thought they were absolutely outstanding. It's great to look back on a 4-1 defeat and feel like it's been a bit of a win. Going back to the, you know, your initial point of view is how did I feel at 7:15 when the teams were announced? I felt a bit disappointed. I felt a bit let down by Liverpool. But then as we got into Jurgen Klopp's interview, I suppose you got to take it from their point of view that, you know, those guys went out to train yesterday. And he seems like a stand-up guy. I like him. I've always liked him. I think he's wore his heart in his sleeve. And he did say that the team that went out tonight were the team that he intended to pick. And that's fine with me. That's absolutely fine with me because, I've managed teams and picked the team in my head on a Saturday night to play whatever on a Sunday. And that's the way it goes. That's the, you know, you've made your mind up. You've trained that way. You know where you are. And it is what it is. You know, we can pick holes in what he did and think that he set his team out to make sure they didn't fucking lose the game. But that's life. You know, yeah. It's, you know, he spoke about the whole thing yesterday. He spoke about talking to Dean Smith And it was only after all the training session that he realised how bad it was for Aston Villa, which was fair enough because it was late in the day when we realised that there were so many tests. So, you know, but I'm immensely proud, and we promised an old an opening tonight, so we won't disappoint. And little cheers and slancher to those guys who most of them can't have a drink. But we'll say cheers anyway to them because, you know, they've done themselves proud. They haven't let anybody down. They've been absolutely immense from start to finish. Obviously, out on their feet after 60, 65 minutes. And it was only to be expected. But lots of highlights, and I'm sure we'll go through them.
Yeah, I just want to pick up on that piece as well. When I saw the Liverpool first team, I had a little chuckle to myself and I went, my God, I wonder. And, you know, look, a lot of things kind of in the heat of the second moment, at the moment when you see it, a couple of things going through my mind. I went, oh, this is retribution for the 5-0 last year in the League Cup quarterfinal. And then when I heard Klopp speak, actually, first of all, when I saw the immense respect he gave Aston Villa and those kids, come out and watch them warming up like he does to every team. That's his thing. He comes out and he watches the team warm up. And whether it's in, I don't like, for other managers, you might think it was an intimidation factor. I think for Klopp, it's just he likes to see how other teams do it. And he probably gets a feel for certain things during that warm up as well. But the immense respect that he showed this team and those players, those kids that were out there tonight would have known that Klopp does that. It's a known thing that he does. Absolutely. They would have known that he does it. And if they saw that he wasn't,
I'll be honest with you, I didn't realise he did that till tonight. I never saw coverage of him doing it. And bear in mind that, you know, I'm a UEFA educated coach, and I did all my coaching badges, albeit a few years ago now. But I've never seen coverage of him stand there and look at the other team. And they seem to home in on it. Maybe it's because of the team that we had out and whatever. But I just thought, you know what? You showed tremendous respect there. If that's what you do every week, you're still doing it. It's fantastic. Because I used to spend my time when I was managing, looking at my team and looking at whose head wasn't in the game or whose head was in the game. Exactly. I wasn't looking at the opposition.
And I'll come back to that point, actually. Remind me, because I'll be a small bit forgetful because there's tons going on in my mind at the moment. But just before we leave Klopp at the minute, is that you have to applaud him. You just have to applaud him putting out that team tonight. Like, because a lot of times we talk about, and the media might throw it out, and in fairness, some football managers throw it out and so on. You don't respect the integrity of a cup or a competition, and it gets called into question and so on, and there's a talking point over it. And I actually messaged you and I said, well, Klopp can't give out about fixture congestion anymore. And when I messaged you, I thoroughly believed that for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes until I saw him before the game, and I went, you talk about the magic of the FA Cup and it's the most prestigious and it's the oldest cup competition in the world. Show it a bit of respect. And by respecting it, you show the kids respect by putting out your best team. And like, he could have taken the easy way out. And I think the honourable nature of him said that you got to respect the footballing gods. You got to respect the cup competition. Karma is, whether you believe in it or not, there's a bit of goodness to be got out of that. And to be honest with you, none of those Villa players tonight would have had as good memories if they were playing against fellas that had 66, 67, 68, whatever, on their back, like they had. They wanted to play against Salah. They wanted to play against Mane. They wanted to get in close to Curtis Jones. They wanted to spin off the shoulder of Fabinho. They wanted to feel what it was like to have maybe someone like Minamoto, like a little wasp running around the place there and trying to see if they can find him, because they all have futures. They all want to have futures in this game. And the best way to prove it is when everybody thinks that you're going to get the doors blown off you. And what better way to do it than to go out against a team that has two, if not three, I can't remember, was it two, if not three, Golden Boot nominees in it. And most of those guys are barely old enough to pull up their own trousers. You know, so it's a fantastic achievement. And the more I think about it, the more I think that, like Liverpool were had the plaudits and in the quarterfinal last year, for playing their young team. And players like players have come out of that, like Nico Williams and so on. There's a lot of players have come out of that, and you see Harvey Barnes is tearing it up in the championship from it. Our guys have gotten the exposure. They've come out of it with immense respect from the footballing fraternity. And that can only be a good thing for Aston Villa, for those young lads, and for the competition itself, almost more so than anything else.
Absolutely. It's all about respect. And, you know, when I saw the team for the first time, I thought, oh, you know, he loaded the team and it was this and it was that. And in fairness, he expected to play 90% of our first team, which is probably what would have happened. As we said in our preview, I was expecting maybe Tom Heaton to get a run, maybe Bjorn Engels, maybe one other, who knows? We didn't know. We'd no way of knowing what was going to happen, and especially we'd no way of anticipating that it was going to be so many COVID cases within the camp. I thought he handled himself fairly well. I've always had great respect for him. You know, he seems like a really, really good guy and a really stand-up guy. And the way he explained everything that happened yesterday, even in kind of broken English, and I thought he was losing the run of himself, but he actually explained it really well. And then obviously he had a phone call from Dean Smith to say, look, this is the way it is. You're playing against the under-18s tomorrow. And that's it. And I'm sure he had an opportunity to go, do you know what, just send the under-18s. But he didn't. That's the way they prepared all week.
We've spoken as well, Paddy, about we're giving Liverpool immense credit. And I think they deserve immense credit for taking it seriously and not patting people on the head. It's patting the club on the head and going, yeah, we should be playing Mickey Mouse team as well. They took it seriously. And I think everybody should respect them for that. And I think our players respect that. But I also think that our club should come in for an immense amount of credit for this. We didn't bitch, we didn't moan, we didn't go to the FA looking for it to be called off. And I know that we're unpatting us on the back, and sometimes self-praise is no praise. But in an instance like this, we respected the cup as well. We respected it by making sure that it was played in an efficient manner, by making sure that we put out a good spectacle in a way. You know, we gave the magic to the FA Cup tonight. Whether we wanted to do it this way or not, I'm sure another 7-2 was how we would love to have done the magic of the FA Cup. We've given a bit of sparkle and a bit of magic to the FA Cup. And Bar Marine going out and beating Spurs 2-0 tomorrow, I think the talking point of the tie will be from the third minute to the 60th minute of this game, and how bloody well our defensive unit, our midfield unit, and how well we broke away for that goal in this game today we've spoken about, because it's the giant killing that we spoke about, but in a different type of a way, if that makes sense.
Well, that's it. And that's probably the synopsis of what it was really hard for the commentators to say that this could be a potential giant killing, because it probably would have been the greatest giant killing of them all, even though it was two Premier League teams against each other. And, you know, it was amazing the outpour. Like, we've spoken so many times, we're Irish. The country is full of Liverpool and Man United fans. I had messages from four corners of Ireland from Liverpool and Man United fans going, do you know what? That was absolutely brilliant that he scored a goal. Nobody believed that we would be... And even after 10 minutes of the game, I was going, oh, our back's against the wall, you know. And even in some of the blocks, we got very, very lucky that the ball just happened to spin into the path of our defenders to clear them. And, you know, it was one of those FA Cup moments when all of a sudden the ball ends up at Louis Barry's feet. Every touch he makes is absolutely on point. Of all the places he could have put it in the back of the net, it was the only place it wasn't going to be saved. It was just impeccable from start to finish. It was a great goal. So it's a... For us, I think it's one of these moments we look back on this season, because we're going to have a rough few weeks now, and it'll be, you know, you gotta worry about how COVID affects people. I know people are, it seems to be that most of the players are asymptomatic, even though they're positive, and I really, really hope that's as far as it goes. But, you know, we've seen examples of players who are really, really struggling after having COVID, so it is a worry. Considering there's possibly 10 first team players or under 23 players that have this horrible, horrible disease as has affected all our lives for nearly a year now. So I think this is just a bright shining light before we've got to face into, you know, what's going to happen, what fixtures are going to be cancelled, what fixtures are going to be rearranged, because it's just going to be a madness few months now. And, you know, albeit without the distraction of the FA Cup. So I'm sure there'll be plenty of weekends that we can refix them.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's look, there's going to be decisions there I have to be made in regards to COVID. And to be honest with you, I know it's an overarching reason as to why we're talking about such great performance. It's looking like we're going to have weeks to talk about stuff that won't be with regards to a product in the field. Sad and all as it is to say, I think the Spurs game is gone. Everton game is most likely gone. Who knows? Who knows, really? We're a holding pattern, I think, at the moment, until we find out more. And to be honest with you, I'm not okay with it to not have football. I really, really want it. It's been keeping me pretty sane during the last few weeks. It's really uplifted my mood since July. And look, doing this, the reality of getting into a routine of coming on here and talking to somebody about something else. You know, it's been really good, and we will still come and we will still talk about stuff. I've got a couple of things in mind for it, but I think we're going to keep the real COVID chat for maybe a different conversation, because I don't want it to overarch on what the likes of guys here that I'd never heard of in any great capacity before had done before. Callum Rowe, take a bow. What a true ball, and we'll talk about the goal in a moment. Jake Walker didn't even know he existed. You know, things like that. Like, talk to me about the team, Paddy. Talk to me about that team that went out there. Who do you think was who do you think was out there today and was absolutely, you know, put their hand up and said, I can make a living out of this sport at a very, very high level, and this is my chance and I'm going to take it?
Well, I think from, you know, we go back to, was it maybe 2011, 2012, when we won the Next Gen, which is effectively the European Championships for this age group. And I think we're only really looking at Jack Grealish coming out of that group. And if memory serves me correct, he may have been a year younger than those guys. But for these guys, this is their Next Gen. This is their cup final. And you look across, I thought the back four, the goalkeeper, Chris Haney, I think they called him four or five different names. Absolutely smashing fella, you know, just full of energy, full of life. You know, you could see there's a good old togetherness with the group. But, mm-hmm. You know, I know we speak about it at a first team level. These guys were all there for each other. You saw the reaction when he scored the goal. I don't know whether it was a reaction of what the hell happened here, or, you know, it was just a genuine outpouring of emotion. But for me, you know, the back four, the goalkeeper is fantastic. You know, I think there's a big future in the game for him. I really hope he pushes on. You know, it's going to be very hard to push on into our first team. I hope he gets away and gets some extra minutes somewhere.
I guess what about the keeper? I couldn't understand whether he was wearing a headband at one stage, and I thought he had a bookie's pen behind his ear. or that maybe it was a biro that he was doing his homework before he was left out of his digs, and he forgot to take the pen from behind his ear, and then I realized it was a hairband. And I was in a chat group, and they mentioned it was a hairband as well, and I went, of course it's a hairband, why would it be a biro behind his fucking ear?
I thought it was an earpiece so he could get the instructions in from the sideline.
Yeah, so he could talk, he could be VAR as well. Was it that? But VAR must have had COVID too. But no, he was good. He was very good. He made some great saves. That double save was great. Like, I thought it came off the post and came across, but yeah. You got a head to it. He kind of flicked.
No, I know he didn't move his hand. I know there wasn't a whole pile he could have done, but Jesus.
Look, you take
away from the goal. So, you know, two impulsive saves. Obviously, a very good shot stopper, was very decent in the air. commanded his area well. I think there's a great future for that guy.
I think
a special mention for me for Callum Rowe. I thought of all the guys who I didn't know, I would have known Dominic Revan, Mungo Bridge, Louis Barry, Hayden Kessler, obviously Winston Bogard's nephew is playing in midfield. Chris Sain that we signed in the summer. And then you've got these guys who just appear now out of nowhere. And it's just, you know, I'm immensely proud of our club because they're all playing exactly as you expect their first team to play. And that has to go through right through the team. So it was absolutely a pleasure to watch. You were expecting nothing. And for 60 minutes, we got the world because it was just phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I want to echo your, a couple of names that you mentioned there. Dominic Revan is a fully grown man. Well, I'd expect he is. He's 20 years of age. That's a bit patronizing to say that of a 20-year-old man. Looked every inch a decent player, more than a decent player. Once again, patronizing, fucking thing to say. I was talking about Liverpool not patting us in the head and saying, well done, giving us the respect, these young kids, the respect they deserve. Mm-hmm. And there I go in and I disrespect them by calling them young lads and stuff like that. Dominic Revan was a tight note there today in the air. Mungo Bridge knows how to play the game of football, knows how to play centre half. He's a new age centre half. And whether he ends up at centre half or left back, very reminiscent to Tyrone Mings, tall left back, who knows? Don't want to be making casting aspersions considering the two of them play similarly, look similarly, I'm excited. Put it this way, I'm excited. There could be Dominic Revan, bit of a right-sided Courtney Howes, maybe I get shot down for saying it, and then Mungo Bridge, a bit of a clone of Tyrone Mings. Really, really enjoyed the two of them. Jake Walker, I thought, did a great job. He was brought in, Hayden Kessler was moved back into right back for most of the game. He was slated to start at right midfield, moved into right back. We played five at the back, and Jake Walker was a right-sided centre half for most of it. I thought he was tough as nails. He's the look of he could go on and do anything with his career. I don't know enough about him. I genuinely hadn't heard anything about him before tonight in much regard. But he looks like a guy who could maybe go to the championship and develop a really good career, like an Adam Webster, one of these guys that will turn up at Brentford and end up having until he's 24 or 25 and being a colossus at the back for them. You know, he just has that look about him. He's a strong kid. And I really like that. Once again, patronized him again, calling him a kid. I need to really cop on. Callum Rowe's true ball is just the best. It's the best thing I've seen Villa do this year. It's just so good. It's so good. It's so good. And Silla is better. Silla, Mamadou Silla has already done more than Yakubu Silla did for us in his career. Winston Bogard's nephew is going to be a player. His positional sense was excellent tonight. 17 years of age, his legs just failed him. But he had no problem following around people there in the middle of the field, making it a bit easier for Mungo Bridge and Dominic Revan. And at times he slotted back in there at centre half when Mungo Bridge had to go out to the left hand side, when Callum Rowe had gone forward a small bit or gone to press maybe a midfielder. Really impressed with how he was able to do it as a 17-year-old. Didn't see an awful lot of Arjen Reiki. I'm going to try and pronounce his name. I've probably gotten it wrong. But I, once again, can't say he did anything wrong. Chris Enne, 16 years of age. You can see why he's got 5 senior caps for Exeter. Kane Hayden Kessler, for me, I think is going to be an outstanding fullback. I think he's going to be brilliant. He's going to be brilliant for Villa. I think he's going to come through the ranks. I'm going to see him, 17 years of age. And then we talk about King Louis the First. We call him because it was his first goal and his first appearance. But Louis Barry, he had a 15-second window for almost, I'm going to say, 15-second window for. To set up his legend. And I'm going to go as far as say that because we've talked an awful lot about him. Villa fans are talking about him since this time last year. Mm. And English football fans and English football youth fans are talking about him 3 years ago when he was only 14 years of age, coming through at West Brom and getting his move to Barca. But Louis Barry had a chance today from that absolute, like, just brilliant through ball from Cannonball. He will never play a pass as good as that. There are players that would play 15, 20 years in the Premier League and never play a pass like that again, ever. It's just like absolute caramel, that pass was. And I'm not overdoing it. I'm not being hyperbolic when I say it. But the run Louis Barry makes, Paddy, talk me through that. That like the movement sends the tingles down my spine from that striker today.
Well, I think it was kind of apt that Michael Owen was on the sideline with BT Sports tonight, unfortunately, because I can't stand listening to Michael Owen. But it was Michael Owen-esque as regard the player. He just had the right amount of touches. The second last touch, obviously the most important, to set yourself, and he just absolutely sublime finish. Kind of in slow motion. It was kind of like he got clear of the defender, and it was just like, oh my God, oh my God. Is this going to happen? But it was just, it was fantastic. It really was. And, you know, we're looking at a guy who was obviously, you know, from a personal point of view, I'm absolutely disgusted that he's played for England, because he did play for Ireland underage as well. And I don't know what Ireland has done to him or how they've let him down, which wouldn't be anything alien to what's happened to many young people in this country. But he's been let down, and he's ended up playing for England. And, you know, best of luck to him, because I've lost complete faith in international football, especially our own country.
Our own country's international football is not in a good spot, nor will it be probably for...
No. Yeah. The reality is that international football might not recover from this pandemic, and it might be just a secondary thing. And if it is, it is. You know, they've messed that up themselves. It probably should have been scrapped, and getting on an airplane obviously isn't a really good idea. So we'll park that for now, and just say, Louis Barry, take a bow, son. It was a fantastic finish. Every touch you took in the lead up to it was spot on, and long may it continue. And let's give him a little bit of a break. Let's not rush him through.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know, there's everybody gone, where's Louis Barry? Well, there he is. We know he can do it. He's there. He's waiting. He's still a little bit too young. Let him learn his trade. Let him grow up a little bit. Let him become a man. And for many, many years, you could see his eyes light up tonight in that interview when he's talking about being a Villa fan, and it was just a pleasure to watch. It was just, as my son called him, exactly what he is. He's Jack Grealish 2.0. And let's hope he can push on and be as good, if not better, than Jack Grealish, because his with the exception of going to Barcelona, his career has nearly mirrored what Jack Grealish has done with regard to playing underage for Ireland, gone on to play for England, being an absolute star for Aston Villa. And I have no doubt that if this man gets his head together and gets his head in the game, does everything he's supposed to do, works hard, trains hard, he will be part of Dean Smith's plans very, very quickly.
Absolutely. I echo the sentiment. I wouldn't mind if he was on the bench and he came off every so often, but this is a kid that isn't like that. Yes, we might get 5 good years out of him if we throw him in too early, as in that his body might break down playing against fully grown humans. I don't think it's patronized. I patronized Dominic Revan when I said that he was a good lad at 20 years of age. He's probably double my height and can probably, you know, lift weights that are heavier than my house. But Louis Barry is he's a kid. He's considered in the eyes of the law a minor, you know, and I think that we need to treat him that way. I think if you were to ask Mike Lowen, going back to it, and I think it's not being hyperbolic, it's not just being an easy comparison to make between the two of them. I compared it in the Villa view, I compared his goal. It was like the run across the defender he made gave the defender something to think about. It was foul him, get sent off, or no, listen, I'm beat all ends up here and hope he misses the target. Because there was no recovering from it, the position the defender got himself into. And I think that that run was very reminiscent to, and I said it as well, it's very reminiscent to Mike Lowen's goal against Argentina when he exploded onto the scene. And once again, I'm not talking above my station to say something like that. It's a similarity. I'm not going to say that he's going to turn out as good as Mike Lowen, but I would say, going back to it, if you were to ask Michael Owen, were his hamstring injuries and so on probably as a result of being overplayed, too young and underdeveloped? Maybe his doctors, maybe his physios, maybe his trainers, maybe they might admit along with him, you know, if you were to give him truth serum, that yes, probably I wasn't fully formed and I had a lot of wear and tear on my body by 25, 26, 27. And then, then he ends up at Newcastle and he ends up, you know, treading the bench for United and he ends up kind of, you know, just kind of petering out his career as such. But who knows? Sports science has come on an awful lot since then. I'm expecting great things from Louis Barry, but I'm okay to expect him in 18 months' time as well. To still be expecting him in 18 months' time as well, because I prefer him to be properly managed than to be thrown in because the masses want it, if that makes sense. But if you're good enough, you're old enough.
There's so much mitigating factors here. I know you have the figures there, but like you look at Fabinho, Milner, Wijnaldum, Jordan Henderson, Salah, Mane, Minamino, the Williams guy that plays for Wales. How many caps between them?
543 caps for every. So every Liverpool player that set foot in the field tonight, and I think I have this right, they've played 543 international games for their countries. Some standout numbers there are Sheridan Shaqiri's 85 caps for his country. Mane 71 caps for his country. Wijnaldum 70 caps. Wijnaldum is 70 caps for the Dutch team. Wouldn't have thought that. Not saying he's bad, just wouldn't have had him up there at 70 caps. But when you go down to it, like that whole Aston Villa team added together this year between under 18 and under 23 matches, they played 96 matches, only played 96 matches.
Yeah.
And that's cumulatively between the whole team. So you divide that up, they've played 9 matches this year. Like the experience, like the gulf in experience is not quantifiable. It's just not quantifiable.
Now look, let's call it a spade. They were out on their feet after 65 minutes. And that was only to be understandable, you know, but to get ourselves...
That's where the goals came.
Pardon?
That's when the goals came, you know. And there was always going to be a time when they were going to chip in with a goal or two, you know.
They got the first goal when we were nervous and we were growing into the game. And then we got our equaliser, and what a fantastic equaliser it was. But like the lads were always going to tire as the game went on. But I think from a personal point of view, this is going to be one weekend that, you know, you look at the scoreline and say, we've been hammered, we've beaten 4-1. No, we haven't. These guys have gone out and done our club absolutely proud. They've done the fans proud. I don't think there's anybody's going to wake up in the morning too upset at what's happened. You know, we've got guys at home, self-isolating, fighting bigger battles than them guys did tonight. And I think if you take the time to go through the first team players and what they tweeted tonight and the respect they had for the performance of those guys tonight, I think that just says it all. From 1 to 11, obviously not from 1 to 11, from 47 to whatever it was, 42 to 60, whatever.
I think it was a 70. I think Bogart had 70. He was 70, so, yeah.
You know, all we can do from our point of view is say, well done, lads. You did your club proud. You did the fans proud. You have nothing to worry about other than keep it going. Get yourself in the game. Keep your head right. Keep your head down. Work hard. Forget about the money. Forget about the fame, because there's a lot of those guys that have the world at their feet and only they can change it.
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely 100%. Before we leave, I want to say a quick thing about it. Maybe two forgotten men in this podcast that we haven't spoken about. We've given lots of credit to the guys in the field. I'm actually going to say three. I'm actually going to say four forgotten men. Mark Delaney in the dugout for Aston Villa today. It's so heartwarming to see somebody who I just looked up to so much as a player for Aston Villa. When people ask me to name my top Villa 11, they're shocked when I say Mark Delaney. A lot of my mates go, who? And I go, yeah, you see, he was a fantastic defender, got curtailed injury very, very quickly, you know, so on and so forth. We've been down this road with this, training the under nines. Now he's training. Now he was in the dugout for the under nines only 10 years ago. Now he's in the dugout in an FA Cup game for Aston Villa, his club.
Effectively, the first team. It's the first team.
Yeah, against Liverpool. He managed against Jurgen Klopp today at 24 hours' notice with a team that literally, and it's no exaggeration to say, they found players that tested negative, not players they wanted to put together for any tactical or specific reason. They found players that tested negative and put them out in the field today. It's mental. Yeah. It's outrageous when you think of it. Mm-hmm. But he deserves a lot of credit. Mark Harrison, defected from the Baggies, came across the road to Villa Park, and done a superb job putting together a very, very good structure. I must say, I hope whenever you hear when a director of youth football and stuff like that comes in, and then Dean Smith says afterwards, and he goes, well, we want to develop a structure that's done from under eights all the way up to the senior team, and we want to play the same way. And you always have to laugh at it, because what will happen is the second the team starts playing poorly, a manager will go, screw this, we're going long ball, or screw this, we're going playing it my way. And before you know it, like, they're not going to lose their job for it. And it's kind of like, okay, right, you just win a few games. You know, we don't want the kids leaving or being unhappy. But genuinely, I saw a lot of similarities in that team today with the senior team that we put out. The high pressing, the banks of four, were very reminiscent to what we played last year when we just had Ali Smata up front, the withdrawn wingers, at times almost playing a back five. But for me, what I was blown away with was, there's a couple of times in the first half, kickouts, Paddy, where we were kicking the ball right out into the sideline, just like Gabby Martinez does.
Yeah.
It clicked at me. I know a couple of them went over the line. Okay, yeah, it didn't work out. The kid's 19 years of age. He's never kicked the ball in Villa Park before. Doesn't know the extremities of the field. But that, to me, gave me immense encouragement for the direction of this club. And Dean Smith and Christian Purslow are the next two men that I think deserve a great amount of credit for this.
George Boateng in that as well.
Well, George Boateng, yes, yeah, absolutely. George Boateng should be mentioned as well. But Dean Smith and Purslow, it's very much a vision from the top down, and I think Purslow spoke very well today on BT beforehand, yeah. From isolation, spoke very well. But I get a feeling that there's very much kinship between those two men. And when they say something, they mean it, and they're honest. Well, I would say when Dean Smith says something, he's honest, and I think he's brought that honesty with him. And I think Purslow believes in him. And I think at the end of last year, when people were talking about maybe Purslow was looking to kind of jump ship with Dean, and Purslow was saying, no, he's our manager. We're not getting rid of him. I think we can now believe that that's the case, because these two guys like working together. I think they believe in each other's visions for it, and I think they believe that they're the right men as of now. We could be saying, in 18 months' time, people could be bringing up this soundbite and saying, well, that didn't last too long, but that's the game of football. As of right now, everything they said, they're doing. And I can't, you know, and I can't let a game like this, like today, go without speaking about that. And we're probably over the top with our happiness today, but...
No, I don't believe we are. You know, this is a long-term program developed by football people, implemented by football people. Like Christian Purslow has a long history in the game. We've got one of our own at the helm.
Mm-hmm.
It's blatantly obvious that all our teams all the way along are going to play exactly the same way. And that, you know, that's fantastic. That's the way it should be. And that's all you hope for in a club. You know, the worry now is, We go into a period of darkness, worrying, you know, like Richard O'Kelly is 64, you know, down to John Terry, who's a little bit younger than me. What's he, 40, 41? Four backroom or staff now have COVID-19. It's serious. Like, you know, it could be anybody from the physio to the chef or whatever it is, and just wish them all so well. It's just the abiding thing that is in the back of my mind, going, you know, that is all that matters now, is that these guys recover, get themselves back, get the vaccine, get everything sorted, get back on the pitch, be happy, be healthy. And, you know, the future is bright. I would hate to think that something like this pandemic could derail what they've already started. So I hope that will never happen. I hope all the players, you know, we could talk about long COVID, we could talk about all the implications that have hit so many players. So let's just park that and hope for the best and hope that everybody is okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll wrap it up there. I think it's been a night that I think everybody can come up with their head held high. Liverpool, the FA, Aston Villa, the game of football, and Villa fans, whoever wants to talk about it, I think they can come up with their head held high. Nobody disgraced themselves tonight, which I think is very, very very obvious. I think people made names for themselves tonight, and the underdog story is still well and truly alive. Yeah. It feeds into this Aston Villa
person. I don't know whether we have to name him or whatever it is, but let's have a special mention. We criticized him so many times, but the referee tonight I thought was fantastic.
Absolutely.
He was so sympathetic to everything that has gone in the last 24 hours. You could see, even when Louis Barry was jogging back to his position after scoring the goal, a little smile from the referee.
Went over and to congratulate him. Like,
it was refreshing just to see that these guys are human. So I don't even know who it was. It was a Greg Pawson.
It was Greg Pawson, yeah. I think we gave him bags of it for being VAR ref for us only a couple of games ago.
If you're going to slag off these guys, you know, we discussed the other day about slagging off Tyrone Mings or whatever. You've got to say, you know, when they do a good job, they do a good job. I thought he handled it very well. There was a couple of challenges that you would have seen Mike Dean throw out stupid yellow cards for. You know, this was an occasion that needed to be handled by a man, and I thought he handled it very, very well. So fair play to him, and hats off to you, Craig Pawson. I hope you go home and have a beer tonight and you sleep well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Have I anything else to say? I don't think there's anything else. As I say, my mind is racing. I'm super happy with this result. Well, not with the result tonight. I'm super happy with what Aston Villa Football Club are going to get from this. I think is immeasurable. The opportunity is there for a lot of people. The opportunity is there for the club to capitalise on this. As I mentioned, Nico Williams wasn't within NASA's roar that Liverpool team last year. And now he's a viable option at right back for them. In the absence of Trent Alexander-Arnold. So, but one or two of these players, we're going to see them get a chance this year. It's success breeds success. As I mentioned, the underdog story is still alive. This Aston Villa underdog story, it's gone on. You couldn't have had a bigger underdog story than we had tonight to match with all the rest of our underdog stories that we've had. Let's keep it going. Let's make sure that this is a good season. I want to thank everybody for listening into this podcast. I want to thank you again, Paddy. We'll do with Acre Sports, man, a match, Paddy, and I think we've got maybe a small bit of it, but I don't know. I might be speaking for both of us here, but my Acre Sports, man, a match is once again going to a goalkeeper, and I'm going to give it to the goalkeeper. He made a lot of saves that were very assured. That double save itself, whether he knew anything about the second one or not, was what it was. He conceded four goals, but yeah, fair play to him. He was on a hiding to nothing tonight, and he came out of it and equipped himself very, very well. Who would you give the Lakers sportsman a match to?
I'm inclined to agree with you. For a guy whose first touch was to pick the ball out of the net after four minutes, I thought he grew into the game. I thought he was fantastic. Special mention to Callum Rowe. I thought he ran him very close to man of the match. And do you know what? Depending on who you speak to, it could be anybody. So I'm not going to disagree with you there. I thought he had a great game, and I think we have the Hungarian Martinez ready to grow a bit in stature, if not height, and Mayhem have a long, steady career, and best of luck to him.
Yeah, and as long as he keeps off those grey tracksuit pants, we'll hold on to this. We'll get to this Hungarian goalkeeper.
Don't be looking at your predecessors.
Don't be looking at your predecessors. Yeah, yeah, you're doing everything right. You don't need to change anything. As I say, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks everybody for interacting with the podcast. And thank you very much to Aston Villa Football Club today for doing us proud in a game where we made history with 16 debutants today. Every single player that played for Aston Villa today was a debutant. Paddy sent me this, sent me on that stat earlier on today. 16 players are debutants. Last time that happened was the very, very first game Aston Villa ever played in 1874. Not a lot of clubs can say that they've had two situations where everybody has made their debut, and Aston Villa can once again, steeped in history, always breaking records. Aston Villa, that's what we do. So thanks everybody for listening. I don't know if we're going to come back to you to talk to you about football anytime soon, but we will be back to talk to you about something in the very, very near future. Congratulations to every single one of those players. I hope this day lasts long in your memories, but I hope it isn't the highlight of your career. I hope every single one of you go on to be the golden generation that that you have every single opportunity to be.
Final word, well done to that coach for in giving out to Louis Barry to go and get his shirt back from Fabinho.
Yes.
And fair play to Fabinho to handing over his shirt, even though...
Yeah.
He could have very easily walked back to the dressing room with it.
Yeah.
It's a special shirt that will hang on his wall for many years to come.
Yeah.
And long may it continue. Congratulations to all involved.
And absolutely. 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 All right, lads. We'll be back to you soon with something later on. I don't know, some stage next week. Mind yourselves. Stay safe. Keep your distance. Do everything you can to keep everybody safe. And all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.